Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier here with you. Good morning, Nashville. It is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day out in our great city. We got a lot to talk about today. The Preds in action. They take on the Utah Mammoth over at Bridgestone Arena tonight, pregame at 6. You can hear that right here on 102.5 The Game. Some college football to get into, and of course, the Tennessee Titans out in Las Vegas. They play tomorrow at 3:05 and take on the Las Vegas Raiders. Nick Frazier, hello.
Good morning.
How are we?
We're great.
I know you had an eventful day yesterday.
Yes, eventful day. You get home from work and you see an uprooted fence line and you're wondering, how the heck did that happen? Not throwing anybody under the bus. Love my mother. but, you know, it just some things happen like that. You know, she didn't mean to. She was backing up a trailer. I'm still flabbergasted on how that happened, honestly. Like, you just back it in, but how does it uproot the fence? I don't know. She defies the laws of physics and gravity and all that fun stuff. But I love my mother. My mom's great.
I haven't met your mom, but I look forward to it now.
Oh, you'll enjoy it.
It's been an eventful couple of days for everyone here. I have an airport story to give you.
Please do.
So I expect a souvenir from Chase McCabe when he returns from Vegas. I was tasked with bringing him to the airport on Thursday when they left. So we left at like 5. You know where our station is. It's about 5 minutes down the road from BNA. So we thought it was going to be, well, it's like a 20-minute trip. I can be in and out. I had Preds pregame here. Starting at 6, we left at 5. So I was like, okay, we can get this done. We were there for 2 hours, stranded in traffic. Poor Chase was getting very, very nervous. So eventually you get to the point where we pulled up close enough, and I was like, Chase, you just get out. Start walking. Fortunately, he made it to his terminal. Obviously, he's out partying in Vegas, so don't forget where you came from, Chase. I want that known. You wouldn't be there if it wasn't for me. So, that's my story.
All those extra miles of gas that have gone down the drain.
At least give me gas money, man. Yeah. Like,
you could honestly be like, hey, how about Wendy's biggie bag, as Chris Sanders says.
You can also beat on that window behind you and tell Pogue to quiet it down.
I don't want to. It's okay.
Today is a bittersweet day. Here at the station, our wonderful producer, a man we love very, very much, Jake Wallman. It is his last day here with us, so we'll obviously get into this more later throughout the show. But Jake, we're very, very sad to see you go, but happy to have you here regardless.
Yeah, it's definitely a bittersweet moment. Taking some time for myself to do some more things with my personal life. But we're going to, I told Frazier this a couple weeks ago, that we're going to make these last two shows the best two shows that I've had in my time here. So yeah. I'm really looking forward to today. Looks like a great show.
And you're off to a great start. You've had 3 donuts. I mean, I brought you donuts for your last
day. He's feeling juicy.
Yeah.
Feeling juicy.
I see a little bit of a jovial look in his face there. His cheeks are as big as cherries on a cherry
tree. He's riding straight off of A, donut adrenaline,
yep.
B, game day adrenaline, and C, this is the last day I have to deal with these idiots. So,
oh, that's right. Tennessee's back on the field today.
They are. We're going to talk about it a little bit later.
Bless their hearts.
I kind of want to open... It's not going to be pretty for the Razorbacks. I'll tell you that much. I want to open today with last night. Were you up at approximately 12:45 in the morning?
Yes.
Did you watch
every single pitch? Every 358 pitches, is that right?
What a instant classic in the NLDS, or sorry, ALDS, between the Seattle Mariners and the Detroit Tigers goes to 15 innings.
Has anybody done a wellness check on our friend Jake Lyman?
Last I heard, he was about to have a heart attack. I don't know how quickly he faded after that. I assume we won't hear from him today.
Yeah, I texted him in the 13th inning when the Tigers just had that miraculous double play to send it to 14. And he was he was very adamant, like, hopefully, he was like, thank goodness we didn't lose that way on that bogus call that Victor Robles had the
which
bunt.
Which was absolutely a foul ball.
Yeah. I don't know how they missed that. That's crazy. If they're talking about his index finger was on the inside barrel of the bat, that's ludicrous. But, yeah, Jake Lyman, I think, is okay from what I know of. I didn't text him in the 15th inning just because of all the way they lost. It was just unfortunate. Walk-off single to right field from Jorge Polanco.
Jorge Polanco. And if you listen to that final call, chills. I was like, oh my God, this is October baseball. I know Joe talks a lot about how he dislikes baseball and how meaningless it is. I've enjoyed this postseason a lot more than I thought I would. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it, mainly because I don't really care. Cardinals aren't in it, so I'm kind of, you know, clocked out a little bit. I think you're probably like me and for whoever comes out of the AL, because I don't want to see the Cubs or the Dodgers in the World Series
or
the Brewers.
I did have the Yankees and Dodgers rematching in another World Series, but
that's out the drain.
That's out the drain because Yankees, again, I'll go on a small rant here about the Yankees. The way the Steinbrenners have built that team, it's all left-handed batters. And it's like four or five DHs on the roster. You have two catchers that are not serviceable. And you're basically playing the statistics game and hoping everybody can hit a home run on the short porch. You got to have a well-rounded baseball team. And if you don't have that, then you have nothing. I mean, don't get me wrong. Max Fried led the AL, I believe, in
strikeouts.
What was it? Strikeouts?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It's either strikeouts or strikes thrown. One
strikes
of the
thrown, I think, because Skubal has the strikeouts.
Yeah. You're right.
It might have been strikeouts, but like, or strikes, excuse me. You have Max Fried, who had an incredible year with the Yankees. Carlos Rondon, who had a really good year. Obviously, Gerrit Cole, the whole elbow thing, whatever. There you go.
There
you
go. Down a little back bit. Down.
It just, that rotation was very, very slim. And if the Yankees wanted to go for a true World Series push, they should have brought in some good players. Like, don't get me wrong, Ryan McMahon's a good hitter, good third baseman, great serviceable third baseman defensively. Don't bring in Jazz Chisholm. I know they did that last year. They should have just signed him to a one-year deal. I mean, that's brutal.
The window's closing for them. Cody Bellinger's testing the free market.
Yep.
I'm willing to bet you Paul Goldschmidt retires after this year. It's all hinging on Aaron Judge. And Aaron Judge is in his prime right now. But it's a matter of, can they build the pieces around him? And I don't know if they can.
Yeah. They have done everything they could to just service this team to be playoff contenders. I think the departure of Soto after last season really put a damper on their lineup.
Yeah.
Because if you look at 6-7-8-9 in their lineup, it's bad. Very bad.
Yeah. It's the middle of the lineup for the Yankees. Very, very bad. I'm kind of pulling for the Seattle Mariners now.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize it has been 25 years almost. I think 24 is the exact number.
Yeah.
Since they last went to an ALDS or an ALCS. I keep getting them mixed up. I want to see them go all the way. I think they're one of the few MLB franchises that has never been to a World Series before.
That's true.
Yeah.
All the expansion teams have made at least one before.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I kind of want to see it. At least go.
Yeah. I mean, the Blue Jays are a tough team.
They're a good team.
Vladimir Guerrero is hitting, I think it's 529 in the division series against the Yankees.
They have good pitching rotation, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Max Scherzer is obviously right there, but you have
Shane Bieber.
Shane Bieber from who I forgot was there.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. They're going to be a tough team to beat. But go America.
There you go.
USA.
Yep. They have that Trey. Jake and I kind of struggle. It was like, yes, Savage?
Yes.
I think that's how you pronounce it. Yes, Savage. Yes, Savage. However, yeah.
Who was the...
They have Eric Eric Lauer is on Milwaukee? No, he's in Toronto now.
He's Toronto. Yeah. Who's the... They've got that one good pitcher. He's a Japanese guy.
You talking on Toronto?
Yeah. Maybe he's not there anymore.
I don't think so. I mean, they have a deep bullpen. I mean, you bring in, it used to be a starting pitcher, but Jose Berrios.
Yep.
He used to be pitcher. That arm's no longer there, really. But Kevin Gausman. Can't forget about Kevin Gausman.
Yeah, Kevin Gausman.
That's a pretty good one. He's a good fantasy pitcher.
Braves legend, Kevin Gausman.
Yeah. Oh, well. But, yeah, no, I think this.
Matt Chapman's on that team now.
Yeah, I think this Blue Jays lineup is pretty solid overall.
Yeah, I think they're.
So we'll see what happens.
They're not to the level of a championship lineup that the Dodgers are, maybe even the Cubs.
Dodgers are a different level.
Dodgers are always going to be a different level.
I mean, they have the big market team. They can go and defer, what, $500 million is what it was, to later on in those contracts. So they're not front-loading all these contracts, so they can just do it afterwards. And they can go for a World Series push. They have a rotation in Tyler Glasnow, Blake Snell, Clayton Kershaw, who's on his final ride. You got Roki Sasaki, Shohei Ohtani, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I mean, that's six guys right there as your starting rotation. And again, you're playing seven games, best of seven games. One of those guys is going to pitch twice. Come on now. That's incredible.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. That was our little baseball soapbox for the day.
Get it out of the way.
Just got to get it out of the system. It is postseason, and we're coming down to the wire here. So just wanted to get that out of the system. But we got a lot to talk about today. College football action today. Vanderbilt's on the bye, but Tennessee returns out of the bye to take on Arkansas. Some big matchups across the nation as well. Want to get into some Predators as their season is underway. How much of a hot start do they need to put some narratives to bed? And of course, we'll get into the Titans matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders. Excuse me. Our weekend poll question is live now, and let me tell you, it is a tight race at the top. Our poll question: hypothetically, the Predators have decided to bring back one past jersey as their third sweater. Which one should it be? Your options: the 2021 retro reverse alternates. Those are kind of the original home uniforms, but they are gold instead of navy. They're probably my favorites. The 2003 mustard cats, which are a fan favorite. The original 1998 navy home sweaters, or the 2010 black and navy alternates. Those are your options. You can go vote for those on our Twitter. That poll is active for about the next 30 minutes or so, and we will break that down at the top of the hour. But coming up next, are we on Cam Ward breakout watch? I think this game is set up defensively for Cam Ward to have a good game. We'll talk about that next. Weekend Huddle broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership where the buzz is always about great service. Again, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll get to that conversation coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Look at that. I feel like we're in Scranton, Pennsylvania, the electric city. Your mugs? Scranton. Look at you. Tune into 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville, or TheGameNashville.com for NASCAR coverage of the South Point 400 race tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. Coverage presented by Michael Waltrip Signature Floor, located inside of Hank Williams Jr. Boogie Bar in downtown Nashville. Welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman with you this morning, talking a little bit of Titans. Let's get into that. So, last night, things went off the rails a little bit on the game blitz. Not a lot of high school to report, so it ended up becoming Brandon and I just kind of talking about the Titans and stuff like that. And Brandon Bigsby did phenomenal last night, by the way. I just want to tell you that.
Great job.
The Raiders' defense is not a defense outside of Max Crosby that scares me. Want a perfect example? Sure. Jamal Adams is playing linebacker for them. There you go. So, I pose the question, are we on Cam Ward breakout watch on this game? If Cam Ward channels what he did in the fourth quarter last week against the Arizona Cardinals, is he poised for a big day against a worse defense?
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah. I think we have to take this game with a grain of salt. I think last week's performance, the whole thing about J.C. Latham coming back this week being a potential option for this offensive line, it's a great idea to bring him back, build that chemistry again. If he picks up where he left off in Denver, I think, yeah, sure, this would be a Cam Ward breakout game. But if I'm in the notion, and I'm not trying to be negative about it, but normally when people come back from injury, it takes them a little time to ease into things. And I'm a little worried about J.C. Latham not being fully ready. And if that's the case, then that makes Cam Ward a little jostled in the pocket a little bit.
Yeah.
Where he's still – the question was, I think, earlier in the week about Brian Callahan talking about, well, Cam's throwing a lot of balls too hard to this guy or too soft to here. He can't get the right rhythm down. And I think primarily it is because the offensive line. I mentioned this to Jake earlier in the week, and that's solely the number one thing that bothers me the most is – if Cam Ward can't dial in on things, it's because the O-line play has not been great. But nonetheless, they had a really good game last Sunday, and I'm hoping they can carry that through into tomorrow. That's why you keep Ali Udo out there, in my opinion.
I'm under the impression, in terms of Cam Ward breakout, that it's possible, but it's not probable, if that makes sense. I think the offense so far has not shown that they are capable of being a consistent and effective offense. Now, if I say they play like they played in the fourth quarter, Calvin Ridley is catching balls that are dropped in the bucket for him. The tight ends, Chig and Gunner, are looking great. The run game is working. The offensive line is gelled up and looking effective. Then, yes, I think this has the capability to be a big game for Cam Ward and a big game for the offense as a whole. But, like I said, it's not probable. This offense has given me nothing to look for in terms of consistency. This offense goes out and, you know, they are the kings of three and out, if that makes sense. And some of that has to do with play calling. I think Bo Hardigree has been a lot better of a play caller the last week than Brian Callahan has been all season. But it's a one-game instance. I think we need to see string together strands of consistency with this offense. And that's why I think it's possible that Cam Ward has a big day, but I wouldn't bet my mortgage on it.
Yeah, and I like the way you phrase that, possible but not probable, because now that you have Joey Sly out of the equation because of his injury, he's not playing this Sunday.
I think he's not going to play a two-tone blue ever again.
Oh, okay. I like that observation.
If this kid that they're throwing out there, what's his name, Matt Wright?
Matt Wright, yeah.
Matt Wright, if he goes out there and he's lights out, I think it's bye-bye Joey Sly.
Yeah, I'd agree to that, but the reason why I bring it up is because Cam Ward as a quarterback has to get them in field goal position, and if Bo Hardigree, like to your point, is making good play calls, then Cam Ward has to make sure they're in good field position, and you don't want to put your, I guess not rookie kicker, but a guy off
the street.
A young
kicker, yes.
A young kicker off the street in a bad situation, so that's something to look at too.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Adam in Portland, who has been on the line waiting patiently. Adam, good morning. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. Number one, the original Predators jerseys are by far the most badass, and I've been looking for them to come back for a long time. So that's my pick. As far as Cam, dude, I was super sick, and then I was out of town. So I haven't really heard any sports talk radio in, like, the last 13 days. I'll say my assessment from afar is that exactly what Nick just said, which is that I don't expect this to be SportsCenter top 10. He reminds me kind of like – you remember seeing Vince Young beat the Cardinals?
Yes.
And he's just marching down the field. Or the way he beat the Texans where he ran for like 60 yards in overtime. That's something – maybe you get something like that. But the fact of the matter is the team is still not good enough. And it doesn't matter if it's the Raiders. It doesn't matter if it's the Portland Panthers, man. We're probably going to get beat in a lot of different directions with this Tennessee Titans team because they're not adequate enough, man. I seen Cam, even that pick at the very end, like, do you know how much God-willing things had to happen to win that game? Like, so many things had to happen, dude. And you had to have the Cardinals, like, I don't know. Maybe Kyler had a bet out or something. Like, there had to be something, right? Like, there's no way we should have won that game. So I'm not dumping on the idea that he'll get better. I like winning, and winning helps people get better. Our team is just not good enough, man. And that, like, the more I look at it, the more I'm like, okay, if all they have is Max Crosby, he could still beat us. Like, he could still get four sacks and turn us over twice, and that would be enough, you know. So I'm not sold on it, but I'm also not trying to be a pessimist. I understand what we have, and I like our quarterback a lot. I just don't think we have enough yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand you. Thank you, Adam, for the call.
Glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, glad you're feeling better. We've missed you a lot. I haven't heard Adam in Portland in a long time, it feels like. So good to hear from him. He raises some very interesting points there, and I think I'm tending to agree with you more, Frazier. This offense is not consistent enough to tell me that they're going to go out and have a big day. Like I said, possible, but not probable. I think we are taking this one quarter instance from Cam Ward, and I'm guilty of this because I'm the one that came up with the topic of conversation. I think we're taking this one game instance from that fourth quarter last week and applying it to the future and saying, oh, well, Cam Ward had a big fourth quarter. That is pivotal for his future, and maybe it is. But I don't think we can take that instance and say, yeah, Cam Ward is poised for a monster day. Like I said, possible. Anything is possible. He's a rookie quarterback. He's getting his footing in the league, and he's shown you flashes of being elite in this league. However, I don't think it's consistent. It's on a consistent enough basis to say, yes, we can bank on Cam Ward being the X factor and the guy that's going to lead us to victory in this one.
For Cam Ward to be successful in this league we call the NFL, go back and watch week one tape of Denver. And the only thing that really sticks out to me about that game that I think Cam Ward's kind of shied away from is he's improvising a little too much. Whereas when he was in Denver week one, he stayed in the pocket until the very end. And I think he's getting to the realization that sometimes the O-line is not holding their blocks enough to where he can stay in the pocket long enough. And to that point, I understand. But if you're a quarterback like a Matthew Stafford that Brian Callahan has, air quotes, coached, been with a Peyton Manning, all those guys were pocket passers, and I mean, Stafford's still playing, but they stuck in the pocket. They threw the ball. And nonetheless, if it wasn't there, throw it away. Like, I get that the NFL's evolving into a mobile-style quarterback. Like, Russell Wilson, I think, was him and Cam Newton were the first ones to kind of evolve that quarterback position, in my opinion. And it's now turned into the Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons, the Josh Allens, and so forth and so on, all the above. Cam Ward is now a product of that, a byproduct of that. And if he continues to develop as a quarterback, I think you have to have your baseline of pocket passing first and then do what you normally know how to do, and that's improvise and run out of the pocket.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Are we on Cam Ward breakout watch headed into Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders? Coming up next, I want to take it a little bit further. Mm-hmm. Now that we've kind of established, I'll use my term, and I think you like that term too. It's possible, but not probable. How can coaching and play calling play a factor into making Cam Ward effective, not just in this game, but in games in the future? That's coming up next. Weekend Huddle brought to you by LPL Financial. Financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today. We will continue the conversation coming up next. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. Looking for a good spot to watch NFL games tomorrow? Then you should come to Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29 degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Raiders. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circa Sportsbook, Kentucky, and Tennessee Brewworks. Believe tomorrow will be Adam Vingan and Chris Sanders getting you set as Joe's having a little fun out in the Sin City. Welcome back in. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier with you. Talking a little bit of Titans. Are we on Cam Ward breakout watch? I think we've established that it is possible, but not likely. Not probable. So, I want to take this a step further. If it's not probable, what can Bo Hardigree and the offensive play calling unit do to set Cam Ward up for success, not just in this game, but in games moving forward?
Man, kind of a loaded question a little bit. If Bo Hardigree wants to have Cam Ward be successful going forward, I think you got to utilize those short passes out of I'd say, shotgun in some aspects, because those have worked well. I mean, you look at Calvin Ridley, who had what, five receptions for 131 yards. I guess some of those were down the field, but majority of them were from the hashes to the sideline. I mean, that's kind of the bread and butter of Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
And if you can, I guess, prioritize that and not just have it be for Calvin Ridley, but Elk Eilmeyer, Chim Dike, I think you can really do some damage with that. And to that being said, like, you're not playing behind the sticks anymore. That's beneficial for the team, beneficial for Cam Ward, and it's beneficial for you as a coach, Bo Hardigree. Like, just air it out a little bit more. I think that, I mean, we're starting to see that a little bit. Again, comes back to the offensive line, but besides that, to see this team evolve, Cam Ward's got to be comfortable in the pocket, and he's got to be comfortable with throwing the ball. And I think he's lost that a little bit, and under Bo Hardigree, if he just calls, I'd say, the right calls for Cam to be comfortable with, they should have some success going forward.
I think it's situational awareness, right? Yeah. I think you've got to know when you can launch the ball down the field, when you can take these short passes, and when you can draw guys open. Mm-hmm. That's something I feel that this coaching staff has not had throughout their entire era here. I think it's been situational awareness. It's not something that you've seen regularly. Look at Brian Callahan, for example. When Brian Callahan first gets the ball, what does he usually like to do?
Run it.
Yep. What's he do on second down?
Run it.
What's he do on third down?
Throw it when you're behind the sticks and then get an incomplete pass and punt it.
Exactly. Situational awareness. And how many times have we seen Brian Callahan decide to go for it on fourth down and or not go for it and play for a field goal?
Quite a bit.
You got to put your quarterback in a position to go make a play. And the coaching staff hasn't done that thus far. Now, they did it in the fourth quarter last week, and you saw what happened. Cam Ward dropped a ball quite literally into the hands of Calvin Ridley to get you in the red zone and set you up for a game-winning field goal. That's what I want to see. I want to see you draw up plays that exercise Cam Ward's talent, that show that you can trust him in a situation like that. And plus, they put them in a situation like that. When's Cam Ward going to learn how to navigate a situation like that? When he's in it.
Mm-hmm.
Experience is the best learning tool. And that's in everything you do. But in the game of football, for a quarterback especially, they're not going to know if they don't try or aren't given the opportunity to try. So open up the playbook a little bit. I understand pass pro may be a little bit of a problem, but the offensive line has looked very good the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Give Cam Ward an opportunity to go make a play.
Yeah, and you made a great point there, and it kind of strengthens my point about not playing J.C. Latham, which obviously they're going to play him because he's healthy, but you have really have nothing to play for besides just developing young talent. And I guess you could count J.C. Latham in this situation of developing young talent, but if he's hurt, don't get him out there and hurt him even more. Like, if he's banged up playing, don't have him out there banged up playing.
Yeah.
Like, you have a big, bright future with this team. Don't hurt him for it. That's just my thing. And you make a great point. The situational decision-making is what needs to improve on this team tremendously.
Yeah, it's not knowing or having a feel of the game. And that's a problem you've seen with the Titans. It's kind of the problem MTSU is having right now, but that's a different story. Mm-hmm. You have to have a feel of the offense and of what the defense is going to throw at you. I understand that they scheme around things that you plan, but like I said, don't be afraid to go off script. Open up the playbook to help your young quarterback instead of these safe little, let's have Tyler Lockett run across the middle or Chim Dike or someone. Maybe we'll get 4 to 5 yards and that'll put us right in field goal range. Then we'll just run it and settle for the field goal. Give your quarterback the opportunity to throw the ball down the field and put some points on the board, because I promise you, he has the talent to do it, and more importantly, he has the mentality that he's going to go do it. He's going to make a play on this next play, because that's the kind of person he is.
Yeah, and as spectators and Titans fans out there will realize, this Titans team, that their special teams is getting there. I think Chim Dike is going to open one up and
He's
going to take one home. And I'm not trying to, you know, change the subject a little bit, but looking at this Titans offense, I don't want to say they're ways away. They have the pieces to be good, but they need a little bit extra time to develop about those situational decision makings like you're talking about. The defense in the last couple weeks, have started to turn the corner a little bit, in my opinion. I think L'Jarius Sneed, obviously still a veteran player, not the L'Jarius Sneed of old, but yet he is serviceable. He tracked down Amari DiMarcado. That was the whole fumble ball thing. He didn't touch it, but he dropped it, yeah. Which if he didn't go after
him. And they got punched on the sideline.
Yeah, but like I'm saying that second effort, though, on the defensive side of the ball, if you don't go chase him down and you're, what, a yard away from him, I'm pretty sure more than likely he's holding on to that football across the goal line. There's just certain things like that that happen. And this Titans defense, sure, it's not the best. Jeffrey Simmons is having a generational year. We get all that. Add all those together, you have a decent defense. I mean, sure, they've not looked great in the first 4 weeks. Week five looked all right against, you know, Arizona. But that's just something you're going to have to put into factors that defensively and special teams are going to have to outweigh the offense for the Titans right now, just for the time being, until Cam Ward and that offense can kind of click on all cylinders.
I think not only is it important for your young quarterback to open up the playbook a little bit, it's also important for your young pieces as a whole on the offense. Mm-hmm. Peter Skoronski's playing Pro Bowl level football right now. There are some people in this city that will look and hate on Peter Skoronski because he was taken at 11 at a guard. He's playing Pro Bowl level football right now. J.C. Latham being back in the offensive line is a huge, huge thing. It is going to play a factor in the Titans' offense this Sunday. And I think you need to look to develop your young pieces in skill positions. Chim Dike, Elik Eomanner, Gunnar Helm. You need to connect Cam Ward with those guys as often and as early as possible, because Elik Eomanner, to me, is the kind of guy that if you get him involved early, he's going to be more effective later on down the line. Chim Dike, I think, is a guy you can put in for a big play, and he'll make it.
Right.
Same with Gunnar Helm. Gunnar Helm is capable of making big plays. So open up the playbook. Don't be afraid of what your young quarterback, what kind of mistake he can make. Instead, look at the positives here and say, Cam Ward's a young quarterback. We need to trust him to throw the ball down the field and make a big play, because I promise you, not only does he have the talent to do that, he has the mentality to do so as well.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens tomorrow, because with Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears back there, I think it'll take a little bit of weight off the shoulders of Cam Ward. I think with the number one overall pick expectation around Cam Ward, just the overall hype around him, I think there's too much of it. I think Titans fans have to learn how to take that off the shoulders of Ward and kind of dish it to other people, kind of even it out a little bit. Because when you do that, then
spread the wealth.
Yeah, I think the guy is a good quarterback. I just don't think he's generational yet. I think you have to give it a little time.
I don't think he was ever a generational prospect.
Right.
However, contrary to some belief of people in the city, I think he was the best quarterback prospect in that draft.
For sure.
Now, speaking of one-game instances, a lot of people like to say, well, Jackson Dart beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, my God. And it's one game. I mean,
Philly's not clicking on all cylinders.
Philly is not looking like, I mean, they're a good team. They're a Super Bowl contender in the NFC, but they got some problems.
Yeah, they've relied too much on that offensive line and the run game. Don't get me wrong, Saquon's a great player.
They ran the tush-push four consecutive plays on Thursday.
Yeah, and you have a guy like A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith that you're not even utilizing. And
no, A.J. Brown's about to turn into Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
I think there is some behind-the-scenes conversations that A.J. Brown is saying, null and void, that's not happening, but are. I think there was a conversation between Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and A.J. Brown, and he denied it. So I don't know.
What do you think happens if they trade him back to Daddy over in New England?
I don't know. I wouldn't even touch New England right now. Because
I wouldn't either.
They're hitting everything. I mean, Stephon Diggs looked fantastic against Buffalo in that Sunday Night Football upset. I don't know if they can get that every single week. I think A.J. Brown's hitting that point in his career where he's turning the corner on the end of his prime. I know that sounds kind of ridiculous to say.
This is the greatest moment in game day history.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm interrupting
please.
You. But Kirk Herbstreit is riding on a motorcycle with Puddles the Duck. So
He's got to get to Dallas.
Yeah, he's got to hustle.
Interesting.
I love that duck so much. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Coming up next, it's my turn. I take over the show. Newt's Notes coming up next, and I think we need to remind some people of how we do things here. That's coming up next here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game. L.A. There we go.
That's my bad.
That's all right.
That is A-okay. We get Otto here
in the break, and I got caught up in Frazier and I's conversation.
Two chatty Cathys over here. Sorry about that.
Two chatty cats over here. And we get Otto here on 102.5 The Game, and it's my time, as is always. Let me talk to you. All right, so I think we need to remind people of how we do things around here. Yesterday I was on Next Man Up with Jake and Parker. Parker is now a Braves and Cubs fan, which is outlawed. So, with me, I have brought a revision of the Newt Sports Book of Fandom.
Thank you.
Which is now platinum on Amazon. Not actually. So, we will go through every single one, and this one is dedicated to Parker Kelly. I hope he's listening.
He should be.
You cannot have two teams. And that is rule number one. Thou shalt not have more than one favorite team in one specified sport. You get one. That means you have to pick one, Parker. You got to pick between the Cubs and the Barfs. One of the two. You don't get both. Number two, in the event of having multiple teams, you must have a valid reason. Family connections, religious, childhood experiences, etc. The secondary team cannot overlap the primary team. So, the point stands. You pick one. I realize he went to Chicago, or college in Chicago. He has family there. However, those are two NL teams. Those are two teams that I think you could consider rivals on some level.
It's like kissing your sister.
Maybe not that far.
It kind of is, actually.
Yeah.
Same family, same league.
This is an important one. Maybe not for Parker, but it is an important one. In the world of college sports, your team must be constant throughout all sports. For example, Alabama football / Kentucky basketball fans worthy of execution.
Taboo.
It is. One of my friends last week asked me if I wanted to support Alabama in their game against Vanderbilt. I said, I will support you, but I will not wear a hat because I will not fit that demographic of Alabama fans and Kentucky basketball fans. It's inappropriate and it is wrong. Random college sports apparel is allowed as long as it's not a rival or conference opponent. College football 26 program representation is encouraged. As you can see, I am a part of this rule today. If you're watching the stream, I am representing the Oregon Ducks. They are not a rival with my Kentucky Wildcats. I have coached there, and I love that duck. So, I represent them well. Ditching a fandom is banned in all caps. Should one ditch their fan base for another, they should never be considered a real fan and should be exiled from the country. So, choice is yours, Parker Kelly. What do you want to do here? Do you want to ditch the Braves for the Cubs, or do you want to be a real man and pick one?
What was his primary? Wasn't it the Braves?
It was.
I thought he was. I remember him mentioning, I think it was this time last year, where he was a Braves fan.
Yep.
So, if he's a Braves fan initially, yeah, you're right, Connor. It does fall under this category. This is ridiculous. Look, I'm a diehard Cardinals fan just like you.
Yep. Have you ever considered leaving them?
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
Even when they stink right now for the last 2 years.
You got to be loyal.
Yes.
When attending a sports event, you must stay the entire game barring an emergency. Money should not be thrown away. This doesn't really relate to him, but I personally cannot stand when people spend their hard-earned money and their team is losing, so they leave. You got to sweat it out, man. Just like you're watching on TV, you got to sweat it out. Become one with your team. Become a fan and become loyal to said team.
Prime example. Went to St. Louis at the end of August. Went for a charity golf event, and I was like, you know what? Cardinals game, they're taking on the Pirates. I want to see if Paul Skeens is in attendance. Didn't pitch, but he was in attendance. $37 because they're so bad.
Yeah.
Four rows off home plate. I got my brother and my dad said, hey, let's leave early. I was like, no, this game's it's tied 1-1. No need to leave early. Walk off home run.
There you go. Nolan Arenado. I remember that game.
Alec Burleson. I was at that game too. That was in June. It's a different game.
Oh, that was the Dodgers, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the Dodgers. Yeah, that's right. I was at that game. That was great.
That's right.
And then, obviously, Alec Burleson in the end of August.
Look, yeah, I'm
off home run to center field.
I'm headed to I'm headed to Kroger Field here in a couple weeks.
The Krog
to watch Kentucky and Tennessee. I fully expect that game to be a blowout. I expect to get beat by 20 However, I'm excited because I've never been there. And am I going to stay for the whole thing? Absolutely. Mostly because they're trying to price out the Vols fans, so tickets are relatively expensive. But I'm going to stay the whole game because I'm excited, and that's my team, and I'm going to sweat through it because I'm a fan. Number 7, never yell at a person for cheering and showing support. If you do, you are subject to old man yells at cloud status. This is in reference to people that are season ticket holders. A lot of old people, I think at Neyland, you could probably say they're there. They're definitely at Rupp Arena. They get very upset when the younger crowd comes in and stands up and cheers. Why? They're showing support and they're contributing to the environment.
I don't get that either. That makes no sense.
It drives me crazy. Number 8. Admiration of specific players should never switch your fandom. Remain loyal no matter the roster. That means if you are a Mookie Betts guy, don't let that make you a Los Angeles Dodger. I'm a Mookie Betts guy. He's a local guy. He's been one of my favorite players. Does that mean I like the Los Angeles Dodgers? Absolutely not. So there you go.
I'm with you. Yeah, my brother grew up playing baseball with Mookie. I was fortunate enough to play one game with Mookie Betts back in the day as an 8-year-old.
Ah.
Yeah, played up with the 14-year-olds.
My dad used to umpire Mookie when he was back at Overton. He was pretty much a utility guy. Played shortstop, played outfield.
Natural infielder, by the way.
Natural, yeah. Natural second baseman, actually, but played everywhere. Baseball's not even his best sport.
Bowling.
Bowling.
Yep.
He's a bowling legend. Number 9, rivalries are to be treated with respect and are not a personal matter. After the game, rivals should shake hands and wish each other well. It can get heated. I know, especially in college sports. However, don't let rivalries throw your friendships away. Treat each other with respect. And finally, number 10, allow a fan to grieve after a tough loss. Bad things happen to good people.
Yep. I've witnessed that in Mississippi State versus Tennessee.
Yeah, I was here.
You were. I was losing my mind, Walman. I threw my hat. I was standing right where Connor's sitting.
I remember we talked about this last week.
Yep.
Yeah, poor guy.
One rule that I didn't hear that I want your opinion on, you know, you mentioned you're going to the Kentucky-Tennessee game in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Let's say I'm a Tennessee fan and you're a Kentucky fan that's, you know, trying to sell some tickets. Do you agree with selling to the opposing fan base?
No, never. No.
Okay. Price gouging at all?
Price gouging. And if I do, I'm going to sell it for way more than it's actually worth.
I really like it when I see fans not just sell to the same team, but like they're looking for like a dad and son that's never been. And
bingo.
You know.
Because if you sell to the opposing team, not only are you filling your stadium with the opposing fan base, you're robbing a fellow Wildcat, for example, of an experience. Like you said, I like when people that can't go to the game try to find, you know, a dad and a son on the street that have never been to a game. It's stuff like that that makes the world go round. So I think, yeah, maybe I'll add that one to the list. Maybe we're making some revisions as we speak.
I love it.
You cannot sell tickets to an opposing fan. I really got to get this published.
You should.
And I really hope Parker Kelly's listening.
Have Puddles the Duck and you hugging on the front of the...
Oh, my goodness.
Or just
goodness.
Like arm in arm.
Oh, no, it's going to be like that... did you see the picture of Puddles and Lee Corso that he keeps parading around? It's the stepbrothers picture, but it's Puddles...
That's it.
But it's Puddles and Lee Corso.
You need that. That's the front cover of this book.
Me and the duck doing the stepbrothers pose.
Yes. This is great.
In like cursive writing.
What's the title of this book?
It's the Newt Handbook of Sports Fandom. I need to talk to Joe Dubin and see who his publisher is. See if he can help me out.
This is within reach, Connor.
I think we can make some money off of this. And I think we can make some standards.
I'm in. I'm a supporter.
You can be you can come with me. You can be like my media surplus guy. You can just hang out at Books A Million next to me and make sure nothing goes wrong.
Next to Starbucks,
when I'm doing book signings. And some crazy fan comes up to me and says, I don't agree with this. And I'll be like Charlie Kirk and just debate them.
That'd be pretty funny.
It's. I really hope he was listening to that, because now he's got to make a decision.
Yeah, Parker does now. Cubs or Braves?
Cubs or Braves? You don't get... I mean, Cubs are having more success than the Braves as of lately. So, I hope that's not the reason that he's being swayed. He went to a game in St. Louis, actually. It was Cubs and Cardinals.
And what'd he say? He loved it.
Yep.
And what does he have in his backpack? A Busch Stadium pin. So...
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
You are in violation of so many rules right now.
Crossing a lot of lines.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you've got opinions on the new handbook of sports fandom. I'm not going to change my opinion, but you can give me yours. Tomorrow's NFL Game of the Week is the Cowboys versus the Panthers at noon on Sports Talk 830. NFL Game of the Week presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. Let me also tell you that tonight's college football game of the week is South Carolina versus number 11 LSU at 6:45 on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Beaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. When we come back, the poll results are in. We asked you, if the Predators were to reveal a third jersey, which jersey in the past do you think it should be? The results are in. We'll break it down next. You're on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game.